And we are here today to start off the Senior Features series, which is a series where I will be interviewing computer science seniors who were involved in the Lady Linux project. Our first guest is with us today. Her name is Anna.
Hello, Zach. Thank you for having me here.
It's nice to have you. And to sort of just dive right in, the Lady Linux project, can you tell us a little bit about it?
Well, Lady Linux is a project that we were working for our senior capstone this semester with me and seven other seniors. It was born last semester. We were discussing with some other seniors what can we... a lot of us are currently very interested in AI agent and LLM agents. So we were wondering how we can use our skills with implementing AI agents for the good of probably our communities or whoever would be using them. And we came up with this idea of an operating system, Linux-based operating system, which would have an LLM agent installed in the system, which would be able to read the system files and help the user who might be not necessarily a technical user, not necessarily understanding how their machine works, operate their computer in the way that will be the most helpful to them. We wanted Lady Linux to provide user with information about their settings, help change them or instruct them how to do that, and also in the future to be able to assist the user of Lady Linux with their explanation about their data. For example, their data privacy, where what apps on their computer use what data, and maybe even if the user does not want this data to be used, help them close this pipe to say metaphorically.
So essentially, the way in my mind I'm thinking of it is it's like Jarvis from the Iron Man movies, where he has this AI in his suit who helps him out with things at the when using the power of his voice. But I really like how you mentioned that it's going to be a community project and it'll be available to the community or whoever really wants it. And I just think that's really noble. And to sort of dive in a little bit deeper, what exactly was your involvement with the project?
Well, my original job, when we were discussing who wants to do what, I want to go more on the inside of the LLM itself, large language model, the AI agent how we call it. We usually use a word LLM when we talk about AI agents. And to do specifically, I end up working on something called Retrieval Augmented Generation, RAG. And I was creating a RAG layer for our LLM. I also helped research on what LLM we're going to be using in the beginning. But then my job was to implement this layer between the system and the LLM, the agent, which would make it work faster. As you've all probably heard of, or at least have a general concept, computers don't speak in words. Computers speak in numbers. LLMs are no different. When you work with AI, AI doesn't see your words. It sees things called vectors, which are a lot of numerical change words in numerical setting. So if you were to see those vectors, you would not be able to read them because it would be just float after float after float, or decimal after decimal after decimal. Because LLMs cannot read words. So what my RAG layer was doing, it was working as a middleman between the system and the LLM, by imagine every file in your system being divided into small pieces, chunks. They're literally called chunks. And then there is a separate model working on your system to make them into those vectors, put them in something called a vectorized database, so somewhere they would be temporarily stored, so the LLM agent could access them easily and not search your entire system every time. So this middleman is what I was working on in the system.
So I just have a little bit of a follow-up question. To me, to a guy who has, let's just say, limited computer proficiency, this seems like a pretty intense system. So I was just curious, how much RAM or memory does this need to run? I know that's kind of might seem like a silly question, but I'm just thinking for the average consumer who has nothing more than maybe a Dell or HP laptop, do you think that this would be able to run on that sort of machine?
That's actually a really good question. This is not a silly question at all. And this is exactly why we're doing it. Because if LLM would have to search your system the entire time, every time you ask it the question, it would have to search your entire system, it would actually use a lot of resources. One of the things we had to work with were the CPU, memory, like limited resources on our machines. We had a separate test machine oftentimes, which we were using for those purposes. And this is exactly why we have this RAG layer. Because instead of doing every time the whole piece of work, it would be as if you would already have separated it and have it prepared. So, as you say, it's not using so many resources every time you ask the question.
As of right now, today is April 4th, 2026, the day that we're doing this live. How far along would you guys say this project is?
We definitely moved quite a bit from the moment we began, when we just had a hard-coded question. So it was literally programmed that one and only question the system could ask. Now, first of all, the agent, we've had to switch agent to begin with, but the agent connected to this RAG layer knows, and I put quotation marks around knows, because that's we gave it a system prompt, that it's LEDI Linux, that it's only supposed to answer questions about the operating system, and it also can access the files that were embedded. So what I was talking about earlier, how they are divided into pieces and made into numbers, it can access the files that were embedded and vectorized and have something of I can explain something about those files. For example, what's inside and why this file is this way, and maybe even what this file is, what other files this file might be connected to or references. Also, we moved quite a bit on our interface. We added something that was not originally planned. We added a layer which just an interface layer which shows your CPU consumption, your memory, gives you warnings if, as you were saying, it's overused. And also, it can change themes, and we made it customizable. User can actually ask the agent itself on one of the versions, switch theme to this up to blue or glass or dark or whatever it is, and the agent will switch the theme of the LEDI Linux interface.
I would just like to say to you and to the listeners that it's actually just a very cool system, and especially when Anna was talking about how you can switch the theme of the interface. I watched them do it live. I had a live demonstration a few days ago, and just it looks simple on the surface. You're just telling the AI what you want it to do, but there's actually a lot of blood, sweat, and tears behind it, which makes it do that. There's a lot underneath the hood, and I got to see the inner workings a little bit, and I'm just surprised. I mean, yeah, it's a lot of numbers and stuff, but I'm not a computer guy, so I wouldn't necessarily say I understand it, but it's been pretty cool to see. And I just wanted to ask as well, when you came to St. Francis, did you envision yourself doing anything like this within the computer science program? Because I know AI really started to blow up around 2022, 2023. So I just wonder, when you came here, did you envision yourself seeing and doing these kinds of things?
Oh, absolutely not. I came here in January of 2023, and I had only very general idea of what exactly I wanted to do. I knew I wanted to do algorithms because I liked math, I liked step-by-step solutions, and I liked seeing my dad code, and that was my general idea of what I was going to do. When I was asked what we were doing with computer science, I was saying something, I'm going to make websites. And that was my whole answer. This was nothing like what I'm doing right now.
So how do you think USF, the overall USF experience or your experience within the computer science program over these past few years, how is that gotten you to where you're at today? Because you, like you said, you came in wanting to do websites, and now you're working on a whole different kind of beast. So how do you think your experience here sort of changed you and molded you into what you are today?
I definitely think that my experience at USF taught me to adjust. As we just said, I didn't think I would be doing anything of what I'm doing today, but I learned to have fun with it. I didn't expect it to be that fun, generally. I also didn't think that I would enjoy this like step-by-step solutions. I thought it was, I'm good at that, but I didn't think I would enjoy this. And the other thing, I feel like my experience in computer science, specifically in USF, was very inspiring in a sense that I didn't think I would be able to do stuff like that. When I just came here, when my freshman year, my first semester, I actually thought I would not be able to do it at all. I was scared and I was like, okay, let's try and see how it goes. But even starting my second semester, I was shown that it's actually possible that I can do it. And more than that, I should do it, and nothing stops me from doing it.
That's really good to hear, and that you were able to sort of unlock that part of yourself. And this is also just another follow-up question, but when you say that you enjoy the step-by-step and the math side of things, I know you're talking a lot about software, but are you ever involved with hardware or anything like that? It seems like you're more of a software person, but do you ever work on hardware?
Not really. I know the general as like every computer science student should, but that was never something that was of my passions. I know a lot of students are much more interested in the hardware part of things, but I always want to do software, even way before college. I much prefer logical part of things rather than actually doing something with my hands.
Yeah, and I completely understand that, because that's sort of how I feel about the software side, because when I did computer science my freshman year of high school and I took A+, I was definitely more of a hardware guy, and I really enjoyed doing the soldering and working with multimeters and things like that, but I wasn't a big fan of working with software and troubleshooting. So I can definitely relate to that. And I also just wanted to ask, you said you knew that you wanted to do software before you came to college. How were you exposed to that?
Well, everyone in my family basically is involved in tech in some way, shape, or form. But specifically, my dad is a software engineer, and my brother went to it a bit later, obviously. He's older than me by 10 years. But I grew up watching them doing it. I read their old books about software, about algorithms, about programming languages. So I had a general idea of what software engineering is since I was basically a kid.
What programming languages do you know?
Well, my main right now is Python, because for working with LLMs as much as I do, Python is right now the absolute industry killer. That's the best choice. But I also, during my time in USF, worked with C++, Java, JavaScript. I know those are not necessary programming languages, but I obviously worked with HTML and CSS for some of the classes. I also was exposed to older programming languages, such as COBOL, for example, but those are not languages I would say I know. This is just something I tinkered with.
Okay, I'm interested. That, how hard do you say it is to learn a programming language? Are they, it's going to sound dumb, are they based on real words like English or Spanish or French? Like how do you learn a programming language?
Actually, learning syntax is not the hard part. They are very, after you know one, it kind of starts to make sense. Sure, some of them are more typed. You have to make longer statements, if you will. Some like Python, everyone loves starting with Python because it's print, and it's just the whole in the prints what you want. I'm obviously oversimplifying, but this is a first lesson in every programming language: print hello world. yes, even you probably know about that.
Yeah, I do.
But some are more strongly typed, some are less strongly typed, but the most important part is understanding the logic, how it works. These algorithms that I like, the statement why something is that way and not another. The syntax itself is not hard. Syntax itself can be learned pretty quickly.
The only one that, I don't even know if it's a programming language, but the only one I have any faint memory of is binary, because we did work with that quite a bit back in the day.
Well, that depends, and I'm not going to go in this discussion right now.
Oh, that's fine. We can change topics a little bit then. So you know, obviously you're a senior. You've been at USF for a while now, and I know over time you've held a lot of different leadership positions. So you've been a peer minister, captain of the tennis team, and the president of the Justice League Club. So I just wanted to say, ask, how have these experiences shaped you as a person and as a student here at USF?
Well, all of these things happened kind of naturally. I always joke that I don't come to leadership positions. Leadership positions happen to me. Because at least two out of three of these, just I was asked to do randomly. Only the peer minister actually applied for a job. But all three of them were definitely a growing experience. I had to, all of these positions, I had to learn how to work with people, work in the teams. There's a peer ministry team, and when I'm a club president, obviously there is an e-board, and which we were coordinating with. When tennis team, well, team is literally right there. And all of this, I had to learn a lot about how to work with different kinds of people, and that the way that I think about things and think about leadership and think about what's convenient for people is often not convenient for other people at all, including people I work with and people I lead. That different people also have, I had to learn that different people have different leadership styles, and what's completely normal for me might be triggering to other people, and this is not the way that work works for them. Sorry for my tautology. So it definitely helped me grow as a person. I know it sounds very, I guess, lame, but it's generally what it was. Helped me be more understanding towards people, even if I if it's something that doesn't make sense for me in particular, I still understand that this is how this person's brain works, and that this is not an obstacle, but something to work with.
How would you say you lead others? Just thinking a little bit about how you stated that different styles can clash and your style may not work with someone or their style may not work with you. So I'm just curious and I want to ask, how do you lead others?
Well, when I started join leadership positions, you got the point.
Yeah.
I was much more of, well, why can't we just do what I want because I can see good in it. But the more I was doing it, the more I realized that the best way, at least in my opinion, to lead someone is to be supportive. And then they also are supportive of your ideas when necessary. If I let someone lead when they're the best at, they're gonna trust me with leading what I am best at.
And the last question I'd say I want to ask about leadership is, which position is your favorite and which one do you think you're the best at? Because those two things aren't exactly mutually exclusive. So I'm just curious about that.
Well, that's a hard question. Well, my favorite one definitely was Justice League presidency. I was working with amazing team and we always were there to catch each other if something wasn't working the exact way. So it was generally the best leadership experience I ever had in my life. I'm not sure if I can name the one I'm best at. All of them had good and bad things, and all of them had their own communication problems or people against people, people clashing problems. So I can't, I'm not going to name one that was the, where I was the best at, because all of them were the best at certain period of time.
How do you define success in leadership terms? How do you define success and look in the mirror and say, I was successful as a leader today?
Well, at least with the positions I worked with, all of them, at the end meant helping people, either it was helping people have fun, which would be a club leadership, help people or organize as a team, which was the tennis team, and achieve our goals, or help people in the sense of support them. But in any case, all three of these positions were in some sort, I'm there to help people. So my definition of success would be, it's going to sound a bit naive, but people being happy. Today, for example, we had a tennis match and I could see everyone supporting each other and cheering for each other and enjoying their time. And I think that's a success.
I would agree. And I definitely share that same sentiment, because when I lead as well, my ultimate goal is satisfaction amongst the group and that people are happy and taken care of. So I really like how you answered that question. I am a little bit biased towards it, but I do really like that. And just wanted to say, I have one more question I want to ask you in total, but before I ask that question, is there anything else you want to talk about?
You can go ahead.
The last question I have for you today is, where do you see yourself in a year?
Well, that's definitely not an easy question for anyone. But I would hope that I would be in one of those two places. I really want to be in something related to tech. It's either I want to work in something software engineering related, or I would want to teach tech. I really enjoy helping people understand things. This always was coming for me naturally too. So I would really want to teach what I would think I know the best, or apply what I know and work with the best. So it would be one of those two fields.
I really like that answer, and I definitely agree. And I'm really looking forward to seeing what you do in the future. And, you know, thank you for your time today. I'm really happy you were able to come on and be the first person for the senior feature series here on WCSF Joliet 88.7 FM.
Thank you for having this wonderful program.